I read to you today from Luke, the 12th chapter through 32, and I am reading from the English Standard Version. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither reap nor sow. They have neither storehouse or barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O ye of little faith, and do not seek what you are to eat, and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you."
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. It's good to be together this morning, first day of the week as well. And as Christians, we assemble in thinking of our Savior and how we have been saved and the life that we have in him. This week was kind of interesting for me. As a preacher, the hardest sermon to write every year is on Mother's Day. And you might be thinking, well, there's other days and different things that you talk about, but Mother's Day is always it. So this week I'd already scheduled. I schedule my sermons a year in advance. I have them all prepared and looking at them. And this week was Sarah. And I had a nice sermon put together, but I felt like if I presented that message this morning, you'd be like, what is he trying to say? And you might be asking me later, so you thought that was appropriate for today, but I think it'd be good this morning because this is what I usually get from a lot of mothers is the subject of anxiety has always been a concern. So I thought looking at this week would be very encouraging for us to consider the words of Christ and what he says about anxiety. And so Brother Dutch has already read from us from Luke chapter 12, and that is a parallel passage to Matthew chapter 6. And something that stands out to me is that Jesus, in his preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about anxiety, and he spoke about it and how we don't need to be anxious about this life. And then at the end of his life, in Luke chapter 12, in fact, in his journey up to Jerusalem, he spoke about it again. And I see it as something very common in his preaching and speaking that we not be concerned and not be anxious about things that God has already taken care of, things that we should have faith in, that we should be able to observe in the creation that God has given us and be encouraged by it. So that's what we want to look at this morning. So every faithful Christian wants to put aside worldly things and focus on God. We'd say, yes, I want that. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want anything to take away from my faith in Christ and in the Creator and as I trust in him. And so we want to think about that this morning, those worldly things. One of the things that comes to my mind is right here, is this passage here in Mark chapter 4. You remember Jesus' parable of the sower? And he talks about the one who goes and sows in the field. And he talks about the certain states of those, the hard ground that could not receive the seed. He talks about the rocky soil. And then there's the soil with the thorns on it. The briars come up and choke out those that are there. And that's what we read about here in Mark chapter 4. And of course, there are those that land on the good ground and produce much. But I want you to notice this here. And why this stood out to me, I'll share with you in a moment. But he says this, "And others are the ones," and Jesus giving the interpretation of it, "and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." For Christians, this is the most common thing that I see, people becoming believers, and yet these things choke them out. And this morning, we want to get to the point where we don't allow those things to happen. Now, what stands out to me is this, the cares of the world. And the reason that this little phrase in Mark chapter 4 stands out to me is because it is the same word that we're going to read about when we read the word worry and anxiety. It is the same Greek word. It is those worries that choke people, that say, I've got other things, other ambitions, other plans in my life, and I've got to concentrate on them first. I got to make sure that I pay the bills before I ever have time to spend with my brethren. We don't make it a priority as we should. But if we would do as Jesus said, and do not worry and do not be anxious about your life, that's one less thing that's there to choke us out, to distract us. So let's think about that this morning. The cares of the world, those are the things that produce anxiety. Well, how am I going to pay the next bill? Where are we going to get the next food from? What am I going to put on my children? They're always seeming like, at least my children, always they're growing out of their clothes. What am I going to do? So the scriptures would say, don't think about it. Don't be mindful of it. Don't allow those things to divide your thinking. I'm going to speak more about that in a moment, but the cares of this world. And I love it when Christ says to us, do not worry. It's a command, an imperative. I have no problem going, yes, you're right. I'm just going to let that one go. I can follow that command. And it takes a reminding of that to do it. Jesus says, don't worry about the things of this world. Don't worry about your clothes or the food or you paying the bills. Don't be anxious about them. Since tomorrow has enough and today has enough today, and tomorrow when it comes, you can think about it then. In fact, the scriptures do tell us things that we should care about using that same word, that we should be thinking about, that things that can conflict within us. Believers often worry about what God has already provided for us. And Jesus says, why are you worrying about this? God's going to take care of you. You're more valuable than the ravens and the birds in the air. He knows that you need food. You're more valuable than the lilies of the field, and yet he has arrayed them and clothed them with more beauty than Solomon. God is taking care of these things. And if you've ever known that feeling to think, you know, I don't know what I'm going to eat tomorrow, that's a, it could be very, very disturbing thought. But as my faith grows in Christ, to be able to be in that position and think about it, this is a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing to be able to turn to Jesus and to rely on him. Another thing that I think about when we look at the word anxiety is this word right here. In Greek, it's merimanao. And you got two words here. It means to divide, and manao, a meri, meaning to divide, and manao, meaning you're thinking. You ever been anxious about something? You know, I'm trying to think about this. I'm trying to make a decision about two or three things. And I know that feeling a lot, where it feels I can't make up my mind. I don't know how I'm going to handle this. And what does the Bible tell us about that? How do we handle those kinds of conflicts? And the scriptures encourage us, and Jesus gives us a way. So how did Jesus reason with his listeners to live without anxiety about these things of life? So if you got your Bible, let's look at this. And look with me in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 25 down to verse 34 to the end of the chapter, and make some observations about the text, about reasons why we don't need to worry, and what Jesus commands us to do that should really help us to just disconnect from those things that have been nerve-wracking. Listen to what Christ says here. Therefore, and yes, there's a context there about laying up your treasures in heaven, but listen to what he says. This, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Now, those of you that want to go a little bit deeper, the word for life here is the word for soul. You're thinking, don't be anxious about your soul, but he's talking about soul in a different way here, so think about that. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Notice his appeal there. It's more to it than what you're thinking about. And these things are simply distractions. And as we read before, these are the things that can choke you out, that can cut you off from the faith because you're so concerned about them over anything else. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you being anxious can add a single hour to the span of his life? Or some translations say, who can add a cubit to his height? That's the idea. You can't do that. You've thought about that. I've been anxious about this problem. When does anxiety and worry ever fix a problem? It doesn't. You can't be anxious about it. Well, what can help is, well, we're going to look at it a little bit further, is prayer. One of my professors in college, he said, I want you to write down the things that you are planning to do and things that you want to work on, the things that concern you. And we did that. That was the beginning of that class. Is I want you to pray every single time, every single day. That is your assignment for this semester. And let God handle those things. He says, you don't have to worry about them. You don't have to overanalyze them. And some people will come up with certain goals and plans for their life, and they just pick over them and analyze them and think, if I don't get them, and this is going to be the ruin of everything. And so we want to think about that. As he says here, you know, anxiety, it doesn't add anything to you. It has no good effect for you. Look at verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, usually that's the clothes of the field, these little things that they would find out in the field, they would use to heat their ovens to cook bread in the ancient times. And so this was something that was very familiar to them. And then notice what he says here, you of little faith. We're going to talk more about that. And look at verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, that is the nations. Everybody else thinks about these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. So we listen to Christ, and I find his words very relieving and encouraging to me. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about your life. What you're going to wear, what you're going to put on. Life is more than food and clothing. And some people can be wrapped up in it. It's all about the next paycheck, the next bill, the next plans, and everything that they have set out for their life. But he says here, those things can get distracting. And what does he say to set our minds on? He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then he mentions this. Jesus says, look at creation. We see the birds. God feeds them, the lilies of the field, they're clothed, and God values you so much more than that. God loves you. He has a purpose for you. He knows who you are. And there are those are things that should not concern us. And then he says anxiety cannot add a cubit to one's lifespan. Again, that worrying, it doesn't help. And today I would encourage you, just let it go. Release it. Trust God. So we see a little bit further here in Matthew chapter 6. How do Jesus' words help us to put life in perspective? He says this, anxiety about life's needs, it comes from a little bit of faith. There's the issue. It's a little faith, and we need a lot more. I say I believe in God, the one who's created and who has put the world in order, then I really need to reason. And that's how he reasons with us, is trust God. Trust your creator. Number two, God knows what you need. You might think, well, I think I need this, this, and this. Notice what's mentioned here in the scripture about what you need. It doesn't say a big house with a pool and three cars and all that kind of thing. It doesn't say that. What Jesus says is, what you need is food and clothing. And a part of that would go along with a shelter. You know, that's things that God knows that you need them. And then he says, God knows you need them, therefore don't worry about them. This is where your priority should be. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all those things, everything that you need, will be given to you. And some people say, well, you don't know what it's like. In my situation, you know, I can't pay the bills. I've got this problem and the next. And I would say to you, I know a lot about what that's like. It's been a few years since I've experienced it. But I know what it's like to wonder about when the next meal is going to come from, or how I'm going to pay for things, and what am I going to do with the rest of my life, and what job am I going to have? And you can allow those things to consume you. You can allow them to pull you away from God. But what Christ says the answer to this is, trust me and let those things go. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Today has enough in it. This is a very encouraging scripture to me, the peace of God. How do we counter that anxiety, those troubles we come to? And I found this scripture to be very true. There are some points in my life, and I would start worrying. Here I am. I feel like I'm the man. I'm supposed to be a provider in my family. What am I going to do about this? And whatever I might be facing, and I have to remind myself, listen to what Christ said, and do not be anxious about this life. And then Paul tells us something very similar in Philippians chapter 4. For some of you, this might be one of your favorite scriptures. You should be very familiar with it. But the counter to anxiety is peace. When we talk about Christians having peace in this life, this is it, that I trust in God and my focus is on Him and it surpasses understanding. We talked about the word earlier, about the word merimenao, which means anxiety, that your thoughts are divided. I love this idea of having harmony and peace and trust in God. It goes past your own thinking. I don't have to weigh on the scales and think, how am I going to ever resolve this? Well, maybe it's not for me to resolve. It's for me to turn it over to God and pray to Him and rely on Him. And I encourage you to do that this morning with your anxiety, with the worries that are in your life. Give them to God. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, the Lord is at hand. In other words, God is near to you. The Bible says God is not far from any one of us that we cannot find Him, Acts chapter 17. He is there. And we need to trust in Him. And Paul says something very similar. He says, do not be anxious about anything. It's kind of a double negative here in Greek. He says, don't be anxious about nothing. You're trying to figure out what is he trying to say here. It's kind of a complex idea. But as you wrestle with this, he's saying there are things that when it comes to anxiety, you need to turn it over to God. He says, but in everything, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So I pray to God and I ask Him for, you know what supplication is? It's ask God to supply what you need. And then to do it with thanksgiving. I encourage you to do this. Whenever worries or struggles come in your life, go off by yourself in a room or wherever it might be. It could be out in the yard. You can go for a walk and pray to God and give your requests, your prayers to Him, and do it with thanksgiving. Do it in the sense of, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for providing for me. Thank you, God, for who you are, for what you have given me. And then he says, when you're doing that, first of all, thanksgiving does a lot to make you happy, to realize, to remind yourself of what God has given you. And then he says, let your requests be made known to God. Give those things to God. Let Him know what your concerns are, what your requests are. And this is what the Bible says. It comes with a promise. If you will pray this prayer with faith, the promise is, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, all the thinking of your mind, it will guard not only your mind, but it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing to think about. And I can say, and I think many mature Christians can say in here, than the things that we've experienced in our life, that we have followed this scripture and it is true. God makes a promise here and it is true. There is a peace that surpasses understanding. Sometimes I can't understand it. I can't put it into words because it's beyond understanding. But yet in my mind and in my heart, I am settled because I know that God has promised me this. And I'll bring this up this morning again because it's repeated throughout the Bible. Don't worry about those things, Jesus says at the beginning of his ministry and at the end of it. And that is something for us to never, never let go of. See, at the beginning and end, Jesus instructed his disciples not to worry because we need to hear this. It's something I could see him repeating and something that's repeated throughout the Bible. It's something we need to constantly be telling ourselves and telling one another here and this morning. So my encouragement to a lot of mothers and the stresses that they go through is to listen to Christ. Turn it over to Him. Pray about those things that might make you anxious. And likewise, we see this. Paul commanded Christians not to be anxious again because we needed to hear it. So here's the point. Christians need a reminder. We need to be constantly be hearing, I don't need to worry about this. Yes, God is in control. And Jesus did speak against being anxious, and yet there was a time that he bore stress. I thought about it this morning when Steve was leading at the table and he was talking about it, and I was picturing in my head Jesus in the garden, Gethsemane, praying, sweat drops, with blood in them coming from him. Him praying to God, take this cup from me, but your will be done. Jesus knows what it's like to endure stress, to go through those things. And so he's saying, your life is much more than the food and the clothing and those things that you may get consumed with every day. And yet we see Jesus under stress here. Paul also says, do not be anxious about anything, and then everything give it to God. And yet he uses the same word in the same book in Philippians 2 and verse 20 to talk about his concern for other Christians, about their salvation and their state. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, Paul says he talks about his concern, his care, and I guess if you translate it the same way, his anxiety and worry for its churches. He had another priority. Now, Paul would tell you he's going to prayer, and he's going to pray to God, and he's going to turn it over to him. He always is, but he admits this. This is where his anxiety was. It was on something much higher and greater than just everyday things that we might struggle with. How am I going to get here on time? How am I going to pay this bill? Those are things that are far second to following God and seeking him. So we need to let those things go and be more concerned about the salvation of those around us. Be more concerned about people, caring more about them rather than those problems that distract us. God provides us what we need. So what do we do with that? Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Care about people. Care about the lives of others. And then I would encourage you this morning, find out what we must possess to cast our cares on Christ. What do I need? I need faith. I need to pray. I need to trust in God. And I need to humble myself. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 through 7, Peter's talking to Christians here who are being persecuted. They're being persecuted. The point of death and the things that they were enduring. And this is often the passage we might refer to about casting our cares on Christ. I want you to look at it again. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he might exalt you, casting all your anxieties. And the English Standard says anxieties instead of cares. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. What do we do with those anxieties and the things that we have in life? We put them on Christ. I wonder sometimes, why do we not do that? Sometimes it's like, I kind of want them. I want to hold on to them. There's something about it. I think that my problems might be fixed because I am worrying about them. But we know from Christ that it's not true. It's not going to work out that way. And every one of us has an experience in our faith that we've prayed, and we know that if I humble myself before God and I turn it over to him, that I really do cast my anxieties on Christ, and I pray to God with thanksgiving that I will have a peace of mind. And I encourage you this morning, accept that from God. Accept that blessing, that promise that he gives to you that comes through being a Christian that others cannot have. Every faithful Christian can cast their anxieties on Christ. If it wasn't possible, we wouldn't be commanded and told to do so. And I encourage you to do that this morning. I encourage you this morning, if you haven't put your faith in Christ, believe in Jesus. Believe that he rose from the dead. And that salvation is through the resurrection. The things that we should be concerned about is the kingdom of God, seeking it first. If anything, if we were to have anxiety, it's going to be on the matter of salvation, like Christ in the garden or Paul concerned about the churches. But even then, Paul says, turn it all over to Jesus. Let's do that. This morning, I encourage you, if you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that he's the Lord, become a Christian. You need to confess that faith, repent of your sins, be buried in the waters of baptism, and rise up in the newness of life. Salvation is through the resurrection of Christ. And it says right here, Peter says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Baptism now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian this morning, put your faith in him, and you can do the same thing. You can cast off those cares. You can live a life and have the peace that God promises that we've read about this morning. If you have struggles in your life and you need other brethren, other Christians to pray with you, we want to pray with you. Find someone this morning to encourage you. If we can encourage you right now, you can come forward and we can pray with you. We encourage you right now, whatever your needs may be, to come while we stand and while we sing. Please come.